Before the service, it's supposed to be 29 degrees by Friday. So, get your boots out 2 times a year. That's all we get to use them. Get your gloves, your winter coat out, just enough to shake the dust off so you can put it back on Monday. Good to see visitors here with us this morning. We trust that you found your place at home. And our church has been helpful to you. We're glad to see you, and we'd love to see you come back and be a part of our church on a regular basis. It's good just to be in the house of God this morning, be in prayer for Brother Ray and his family. Our condolence goes to the family as Sister Donna went home to be with the Lord. Real peaceful, graceful life yesterday morning. So be in prayer for them. Some of you have asked, will there be a memorial service of some sort here? Right now, we're just trying to let Brother Ray have his mind set. They have settled it, and it's been settled for some time the way they would handle the this time. And he has not mentioned it to me. But if he does choose to go that route, certainly we will honor that. Be in prayer for the Ham Brown family as well. His wife went home to be with the Lord this past week, and there will be a funeral service here at the church on Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning, this coming Wednesday, here. I don't know about the visitation. Is it Conrad Thompson? You know the date? Tuesday, 5 to 7. That's down in Kissimmee, at the Kissimmee office. Will be the visitation time, but the actual funeral will be here at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning. So be in prayer for those two families, and of course those that are sick, those that are traveling. Let me beat a drum real quick. We're headed to Honduras. We're going over March 15th with 17th with 15 people. And if you like spaghetti, see Brother Paul Bentley. We need to make some sales to get some fundraising done on that. We have to have the sales complete. He says, well, I don't even like spaghetti. I don't even care about Italians at all. Well, that's your own heart. Get your heart right. And if you don't like spaghetti, be a blessing and be a help. $7 goes a long ways, and it's not, it would be a blessing to the Honduras team. We're not going down there on vacation. We're actually going down to visit several orphanage visits, and maybe we'll be working in three different churches down there, and we're going down to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So see Brother Paul after church and buy one of those tickets for the Honduras team over there. That'd be a big blessing. Let's go to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. This morning we'll just read one verse. Been thinking about this thought, looking at this passage. I know I've talked about it in the past. I don't think that I've done a complete sermon on it, but I have mentioned it, and definitely we've read it in the past. We're going to talk this morning about joy. Joy in heaven. Normally we talk about joy, it's joy down here. You know, it's, of course, the way to joy is Jesus first, others, and then yourself. You'll have great joy down here. Actually, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. This morning, we're going to talk about joy in heaven. I don't know about you, but there are certain people in my life that I love to bring happiness to. I want to make everybody happy. I know as a pastor, that's an impossible task. to make everybody happy, to please everybody. I know that. And I'm not a people-pleasing person, to be honest with you. I generally just stick to myself and do my thing and be busy. And my thing involves people, by the way, it does. So I'm glad to have people. If we didn't have people, we wouldn't have a church. You know, I've heard preachers say that. Well, ministry would be great without the people. Well, you'd be unemployed. Sure, I mean, I don't. That's just about the moronic statement I ever heard in my life for a preacher to say. But, you know, it is difficult working with people. Be honest with you, it is. People are quirky. Preachers are quirky. They have their own ways and their own ideas. You know, you kind of have to be, you know, do the best you can with what you got there. But there are certain people, though. There's a certain group of people that I'm glad that I can please. You know, my wife, I'm glad I please her. You know, happy wife, happy life. Thankful for that. But my church family, I'm glad that I hear or get a text every now and then. I'm not looking for an attaboy or, you know, a pat on the back at every sermon, because this is about the Lord. I heard this statement. I read this, actually, in a magazine that said that many times you can notice that the church takes on the characteristics of the pastor. Well, my prayer is that we take on the characteristics of Christ. You know, if you're becoming more like me, dear God, we're in trouble. I'm telling you, we'll have a bunch of, amen. We'll have a bunch of hillbillies running around here that speak with gravel in their mouth, and you know, but I'm glad I got intelligent people that look to Jesus. And so I like knowing that, boy, that message today made somebody happy. It thrilled someone. And so there's people I like to make happy. But I tell you, more than all, I want to make Jesus happy. I want God to be joyful about what we're doing here at Lock Haven. So this morning, let's look at this verse, Luke 15:10, then we're going to get into it. You'll be home before you know it. Be headed to your favorite restaurant before you know it, whichever way you're going. Hope to see you come back this evening. If you can't make it back this evening, be with us Wednesday evening at our midweek studies at 7 o'clock, and our Bible close at 6:30. Luke 15:10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In this verse, dear friend, we get a glimpse into a sacred scene. We only get to look toward heaven. And you know, the Bible teaches us, I have not seen, ear have not heard, what God has prepared. Even the half or a portion of what God has prepared. And he said in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we see what he did in the week of creation. I mean, the earth is a beautiful place. If you get to travel, look around, and get to see some things. I personally, and my family, they don't understand this, but I personally love the swamp. Brother Johnson would agree with me, I'm sure, but I love the swamp. Get out there in the swamp, and man, it is so peaceful and so quiet, and seeing those river otters coming through and swimming around, and every now and then seeing a water moccasin come through there, and a big old turtle over there, and a fish, and a deer, and a bobcat. I love it. It is beautiful to me. It's back in the scenery of, and I'm not a Floridian. So it's not like this is my natural habitat around here, but it is, I love it. I love the mountains, to be honest with you. I love, you know, getting out and seeing waterfalls. The earth is beautiful. And everything that we see, Daniel mentioned the other night, was walking up from the creek getting a card out of a camera. And I told Skyly was walking back with us. She was holding a flashlight. Logan had a flashlight. We wasn't seeing nothing. We were just walking. And I looked up and I saw the Big Dipper. And I said, look there, Skyly, that's the Big Dipper up there. And Daniel, it reminded him of Arizona out there, seeing the openness and the beauty of it. And well, it's a beautiful place. It is. And seeing all that, noticing all that. You know, the Bible says this in Mark chapter number 8. Let's go to Mark 8 real quick. Matthew, Mark, second gospel in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Mark chapter 8. Verse 36. Mark chapter 8, verse number 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I begin to think about the verse there in Luke 15:10, that there's joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner is saved, when somebody's born again. And then the emphasis here that's put on, if you could gain the whole world, the earth and everything that, I mean, you think about it. I don't know how many here has actually paid off a car and you received the title in your hand, or you've paid off a mortgage and you received the mortgage in your hand. Well, that's an exciting time. It is an exciting time when you get to put that thing in the file and say, "This is mine. I don't owe anybody else. It belongs to me." But God said this, that if a man could gain the whole world, I mean, you had the deed and the title to all the beauty that I just spoke about, the mountains. I mean, some of you have traveled to Alaska, up into Canada, Europe, and you've been around. You've been to the up into the northeast corner of America during the fall season. That's one thing I'd like to go is to travel up there and see the fall of the change of leaves. And you see all that beauty. And as you travel, you see all that beauty. If you had the deed on earth, you could change it. You know, you could change the name. It wouldn't be earth anymore. It belonged to you. It was yours. And you worked and you got it. I think this past week they said that the owner of Amazon is the richest man in the world. Him and his wife, Bezos, something like that, I forget what it was. Anyway, they announced him as the richest man in all the world now. You gain all that, and you lose your soul. What does it profit? I mean, and we're in the time of getting. Everybody wants to get, and we got to have, and we need, and we've got to get to the, you know, this and that, and we add to our collections of different things, and as it goes by, but you gain all this, even the deed to the world. I mean, it belonged to you, and you lose your soul. What does it profit? What has it profited? So we're looking at a sacred scene where it says there's joy in heaven. I mean, that is sacred. Look with me over in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Perhaps with the homegoing of Sister Donna. Boy, she used to be so happy. She had her stroke in 2017, been in that, not 2017, 2000. And it's been 17 years she stayed in that wheelchair there. Had two heart attacks since that. Not a bitterness of bone about it. Not me, Brother Ray either. Brother Ray would get to talking and he told me, "Pastor," about 6 months ago, he said, "Oh, Pastor, I thought I was going to jail today." I said, "Why?" He said, "Sister Donna fell between the car, the down in the seat." And, you know, Brother Ray's probably 70. Sister Donna was 70-something. You know, they were around the same age. She fell down in between the seat. I was getting her out of the wheelchair in there. And she just started laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And would not quit. People from Walmart kept coming by looking off in the car. He said, "Donna, please stop. You're going to get there. They're going to think I'm beating you out here." She was laughing so hard. And just joy. maybe perhaps, you know, thinking about this week and preparing for when Sister Don would go. Lord, get me to thinking about this verse. I don't know. But now if you read chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." That's been added to this week, hasn't it? Sister Donna's up there. She's in heaven. And she's a witness of what's going on. So this morning, here on earth, when someone trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, Sister Donna's going to have joy. She's going to be excited. She's going to have happiness. So the thing that I'm looking at and making the inhabitants of heaven happy, I've made a lot of people unhappy in my life. But I'm ready. I want to be in the group of people that are faithful to the cause of Christ, faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in sharing the gospel of God and what Jesus has done for us, I want to be in the business from here on out, especially a new year. I would like our church to be in the business of making heaven happy, bringing joy to the inhabitants of heaven. Think about the lost loved ones that you have known as saved. They're in heaven today. And think about making them happy. And this is a verse that tells us that there's joy. Joy. This mad race that we're in about gaining and getting and possessing everything. They get the whole world. And they lose their soul. They have profited absolutely nothing. Nothing. I mean, you think about it. As much as I despised it, man, I had to start an exercise routine this year. Man. I got me a 5-song workout. And that's it. 5 songs. And I'm done with my workout. I'm back in the, I've changed. I'm done with it. But I realized I needed to do something. At the end of last year, I was walking up the stairs of the back of the print shop. And when I got to the top of the stairs of the back of the print shop, I was out of breath. I said, man, wow, that's only like 37 steps. 30, I mean, and so we have this treadmill here at the church. It's been in the back over there in the storage room. And a bicycle over there. And so I said, I'm determined I'm going to get. And I put effort to it. I got me 5 songs. I start on 1 song on the bicycle. I walk on the treadmill for 1 song. I run on the treadmill for 1 song. I walk on the treadmill for another song. And I finish on that bike again on the third, on the 5th song. And I'm telling you, we put effort into this old body, don't we? Some of you do a whole lot more than that. I do. I mean, that was it. That was my limit, 5 songs. And it hurt. I mean, it really got at me. But we put a lot into it. I mean, there's programs. I was last year, I think, a big one, or the year before was a big one. P17 or PX91? P90X, man, they were marketing that thing like crazy. I mean, just going, just the advertisement made me tired. I was just listening to them talk about all you had to do. And I said, man, lie. But we put a lot of emphasis onto it. I mean, there's gyms everywhere, you know, and so forth and on. But we dress up this body. I mean, you look and think about all the advertisement for sales, for clothes and things of that nature. And you know, facelifts galore. Good night, live, tummy tucks, Botox, manicures and pedicures and all this stuff. Well, we put a lot of emphasis on the body, you know, and getting it all up, but we put very little attention on the souls of men and women and children. Very little. These got to be our emphasis this year at Rock Haven, don't we? You know, I said, joy is Jesus, others, and yourself. And I think one reason that would make it important for us to understand Luke 15:10 is the importance of souls. Jesus came to die on the cross of Calvary for those that know not Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Secondly, I think we would have an interest in the fact that people, when they get saved and they go, they pass on, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, is that we are helping to populate heaven by sharing the gospel. Of course, Jesus does all the saving. We share, we plant, we water, but God brings the increase. I mean, it's all about God in us, the hope of glory, but we share that message with others, and we, as we do that, dear friend, people get saved, they come to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior, and when they pass on somewhere. They do. Grave is not the finish line, dear friend. And by seeing folks come to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior, we increase the population of heaven. We increase that great cloud of witnesses, and we increase the joy that's in the presence of God and His angels. And so I think it's important that we understand something. By being involved in sharing the gospel, we are concerned about souls, because souls are important. We're concerned about the population of heaven. You think about all the beauty that is here on this earth, and I spoke about this, the week of creation. Yes, here at Lock Haven, we believe that all things were created in one literal week. In one of those days, God actually rested. It was 6 days of creation and one day of rest. And God looked at it and said, all that I've done is good. We do believe that around here. And so it's a beautiful place. Well, you think about what God has been doing in heaven. If you think this is beautiful, street of gold and gates of pearl and river of life and the beauty of the mansions that He is building on the behalf of those who've trusted Him as their personal Lord and Savior, dear friend. When you share the gospel with somebody and they in turn accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, and you increase the population of heaven by your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, you are sharing the blessedness of heaven, the beauty of heaven with them. So it's important that we understand Luke 15:10 and the joy that we extend to somebody else's life there. You think about this. Joy that is shared multiplies. And multiplication works miracles. I mean, you think about it. I don't have time to go into it right now. And Briley, bless her heart, she's tired of me going back and trying to rehash the multiplication tables with her. But you think about this. 3 times 3 is what? 3 times 9 is what? And if you did 3 times 27, it just keeps going, don't it? The more you multiply, the more joy and the more excitement. I think we need to be more excited about heaven, dear friend. Because we are actually affecting what goes on in heaven down here on earth. Some of you, man, y'all come to church, man, it looks like y'all have just sucked on lemons. All the way up here and got a lime in your back pockets and sniffing on it every now and then. I mean, it's like old grumpy grouches. Look like y'all blown on Sesame Street. You know, in the garbage can. What's his old name? Grover? Grover's his name? Who? Oxford Grouch. Who was Grover? Don't know. He's probably one of them characters, but if not, I made him one. I mean, be happy because you being involved in the gospel work of Christ and here on earth, you are affecting things in heaven. You are making people happy in heaven. Not only that, dear friend, think about the investment that our Lord Jesus Christ made for souls. Do you realize on the cross of Calvary, He could have called down 10,000 of angels, 100,000 of angels. He could have called them down and they could have took Him off. Matter of fact, he didn't have to call no angels. He could have said, I'm off of this cross, and came off the cross. But he died alone on the cross of Calvary for mankind. For the souls of men, the whole purpose of Christ coming to this earth was to die on the cross of Calvary. What an investment Christ has made for what? For the souls of men and women and boys and girls and people around this earth. Souls should be important to us because it was important for Christ to die on the cross of Calvary. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19. I mean, you think about the sufferings of the cross of Calvary and all that entailed, from the Garden of Gethsemane to the scourgings, to the mockings, to the placing of the crown of thorns upon his head, and the spitting upon, the buffeting, and the shame and the nakedness that they left our Savior hanging there, and the cross, and being put to the cross there and dropped into that hole. And as he was dropped there, and his eyes was down through eternity, as the Father forsook him and turned his back and turned away from him because he bore the sins of mankind upon himself, and the piercing of the spear up through the rib and under the ribs into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood and water, and the brokenness of Christ there upon the cross of Calvary. Dear friend, it was a precious price paid for souls. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It was an investment for the souls of men that Christ gave. And dear friend, I don't know about you. Somebody had gotten me interested some years ago in something called penny stocks. They actually sell stocks for pennies. So I put in $300 in some penny stocks, Brother Bernie, in the stock market. Right now to this day, after 4 years of those penny stocks, I'm $395 below on that 300. Them penny stocks didn't work out for me. I should have stayed with my IRA. But them penny stocks, oh yeah, you can make some money on these penny stocks. Yes. It was precious blood. It wasn't penny stocks that was invested for you and I. It wasn't just lowest of the lowest laid out for us. It wasn't Barabbas that died on the cross. We deserved the cross. It was the precious blood of Christ. Because of the investment that Christ put into souls, dear friend, now that He is our personal Lord and Savior, that makes us understand we are debtors because of what Christ did. We are in debt, and we owe a debt that we cannot pay, but Christ paid it for us. As you think about the joy that we are putting forth into heaven because we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the importance of souls, because of the increase of the population in heaven, because of the investment that Christ put into souls, we should be willing to be involved and sharing the gospel. Fourth thing, and we're done. Because of the reality of hell. I should have put that one first. But I wanted us to sink in and think about this, because for some reason in this day and age which we live in, we as men of God, and shame on every man of God that stands in a pulpit and denies that hell is real. Shame on him. And shame on me as a pastor if I ever shy away from realizing that our people need to be reminded that hell is a real place. As heaven is sweet and heaven is beautiful, and as heaven is eternal, so is hell awful. So is hell eternal. Go with me to Luke. Luke chapter 16. Do you understand each person that's saved is plucked out of this place called hell? Because there's a man or boy or girl or a woman that knows not Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches us that the wrath of God abides on them. As soon as they trust the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior, the wrath of God is removed. Luke chapter 16. This is an amazing verse of Scripture, chapter that we need to be reminded of constantly. Luke 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Sister Barbara, it's amazing what people would risk for just a little bit of money. It's amazing, Brother Hector, that they do the same thing for a seasonal time of pleasure. Sin's pleasurable for a season, but sin has a wage. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This trade-off, Brother Bill, they don't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that we would trade off this or trade off that. Say, well, I cannot turn to Christ because if I turn to Christ, I will have to give up this. If I turn to Christ, I have to give up that. Dear friend, that is works. It's not giving up something
It is accepting Christ, the free pardon of sin in Christ, the Lamb of God, the gift of God. And when Christ moves in, dear friend, he begins to say, that no longer belongs. That no longer belongs. This you need to do. This you need to continue. It is not exchanging, well, I'll take eternal life and you can have this. It's accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Because He paid for that. It never belonged to you to begin with, dear friend. It was a toy that the devil has laid out there for you to play with. And as soon as he's done playing with you, dear friend, he leaves you high and dry. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Luke 15:10. Because of the joy that is created there, it was our text verse there. Because of the joy that was created there in heaven, in the presence of God's angels, because of one sinner coming to trust the Lord as his personal Lord and Savior, that should put an emphasis to us on souls. It should. It should bring an emphasis into our life. It should bring an increase in our thought and mind that, hey, when I am involved, when sharing the gospel with this world and planting and watering God saving people, it's increasing the population of heaven. As I think about souls, I remember the investment that God, through Christ, paid for souls. And He desires a greater return. He desires. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He desires a greater return because He paid such a precious price. And because every time somebody gets saved, we decrease through our efforts the population that will end up in hell. It's important, dear friend. It is important. We need to get back into the business of making heaven and the joy that we create because of what we do with the gospel a priority. We need to reach out to lost people on a constant basis. Day by day. It needs to be part of our life. Sharing our gospel message with somebody. Sharing the gospel with helping missionaries on foreign fields. Being involved in soul winning and visitations. And pastor, but listen, I work on Thursdays. I can't come on Thursday evenings. That's why we have on Fridays. I work on Fridays and I can't be. But dear friend, you do something every day. You live and breathe and you pass by human beings that need to hear Jesus. You can do something. We make excuses for a lot of things, but there is something we cannot continue to do, and that is making excuses for us not being involved with other people's souls. We've got to be involved. They're lost. They're on their way to a devil's hell. You read Luke 17:16 with me. Luke 16 with me in verses 9. That is real. That is as real as John 3:16. Torments. Just give me a drop of water. Can I say something to you, church, this morning? I'm not trying to beat you up, but Jesus is still seeking to save that which is lost. He's still involved. He still wants us to be involved. Church, I implore you in this year, 2018, let's work till Jesus comes. You said, Rich, is he coming back to 2018? If I said yes, I'd be a liar. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. But I do know that he said, occupy till I come. I do know that he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. I do know that. That's scriptural and it's there. And we as a church, if we want increase in the house of God, we as a church have to reach out to our community and be involved. Personally involved. Why personally, Pastor? I mean, after all, you go because you were personally saved by Jesus. Let's stand our feet. Ed's buying nice clothes. Candace is coming. I know this was a message this morning to try to encourage us as a church to be involved with our community and reaching the lost with the gospel. But perhaps somebody sitting here this morning doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe today, this morning, you would like to come down to this old altar and we'll take the Bible and we'll show you what God says about eternity. Not about what we say, but what the Bible says. Perhaps you need to just come back and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. This new and a fresh look at Luke 15 has made me think and ponder about some things. God, by your grace, I want to be involved.